chapter 11 these words, "He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear." It's Isaiah 11, verse 3. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on this first Sunday after Christmas, this third day of Christmas, we're greeted by three texts from the Holy Word of God, three texts which point out to us that the little baby Jesus was not what he appeared to be. That what he appeared to the world to be, a little tiny baby boy, and what he actually was, a little tiny baby boy, and the very Son of God, the one through whom all things were made, as we confess in the Nicene Creed, two different things. So obviously, as Simeon pointed out, the birth of this little baby, who was not what he appeared to be, the birth of Jesus would occasion the fall and rise of many in Israel. He would be, as Anna pointed out, the Redeemer of Israel. And as the prophet Isaiah noted, 800 years before his birth, upon Jesus would rest the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And in fact, the little baby Jesus would delight, yes, delight in the fear of the Lord. So consequently, as our text points out, Jesus would be the one who would not use his eyes or his ears to decide disputes, contradictions, arguments, but Jesus would judge with righteousness and make decisions with equity, that is, solutions appropriate for the problems addressed. The challenge, then, of the baby Jesus, the challenge for us to understand, for us who use our eyes and ears to do such things. Well, according to our eyes and ears, Jesus was a baby. And how could a baby be anything but a baby? Now, oddly enough, the only one of the world at the time who understood that Jesus was much more than a baby was King Herod the Great. King Herod the Great, in hearing of the birth of the King of the Jews, as we will hear again about on Epiphany Sunday, King Herod the Great knew that a baby, a simple baby, the right baby, could topple him from his throne. That's why Herod sent soldiers to Bethlehem. He sent them to Bethlehem to kill the baby Jesus. Somewhat odd, isn't it? It's the world that can grasp the import of a baby, the life-changing nature of such a small little thing. It takes place still yet today, right? For it doesn't take a rocket scientist to conclude that the millions of abortions performed around the world each year are just because of the life-changing aspects of a baby. Such life-changing aspects understood. Not grasp, of course, is the wonder, the glory, the gift that is a baby. A baby and then a toddler, a child, a teenager, and then an adult, one that arrives as helpless but over time becomes so helpful. Incredible wonder of your average child. We rarely seem to grasp. But then we rarely seem to grasp our children in general. What they seem to be and what they are is often muddled in our head, right? That's the challenge of parenting. We just figure out our 3-year-old and they turn 4. We assume the best. We meet with disappointment. We assume the worst and we're joyously surprised. Of course, this is not only the challenge we face with our children, but with our parents and our friends and our family, neighbors, our city, our county, our state and country. If only we could judge by what our eyes see and by what our ears hear. If only we could do that. Now, back in the day, with only a local newspaper and a nightly newscast, it seemed possible to do. We were even confident that it was possible, but now with news broadcasts around the clock, easy access to newspapers from around the world, websites, podcasts, Twitter feeds, and whatever else there is, we simply see too much, and we hear too much. How then can we judge? How then can we decide? Traveling to Frankfurt, Germany, one day, riding in the front seat of my professor's car, he said something about directions to me in general, and he handed me this book, a thick book, about 2 inches thick. It was a map. Well, a book that was a map of Frankfurt. Every page in precise detail had a map of one little tiny section of that German city, and I was supposed to figure out where we were and where we were going. I was overwhelmed. I'd never seen such a thing before. I was used to a big fold-out map of Colorado with one major north-south, I-25, one major east-west, I-70, mountains on the left, plains on the right. Sure, there was an inset map of Denver, but it only took up a small part of that one piece of paper. How was I supposed to understand that book full of streets and lanes and highways and paths? It was a joke, of course. He was smiling when he did it. My professor knew exactly where he was going. And so did Jesus. So did Jesus. In other words, Jesus knew exactly how he would navigate through the world, despite what his eyes saw and his ears heard. For his delight was in the fear of the Lord. And that being so, he was going to navigate through the world by means of the word of the Lord. He's not going to look around and panic when he saw a Roman soldier in the streets of Capernaum. And he wasn't going to become all confused when confronted by the Pharisees. Jesus was not going to despair when the Sadducees continued to teach that there was no afterlife, or throw up his hands in the air because of the questions of his own disciples, which were so off base. You see, all of these groups of people were looking at the world with their eyes and listening to the world with their ears, and doing so apart from the wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord, which comes from the Holy Spirit to us through the very Word of God. So what is Jesus then, the baby Jesus, for us? The Rosetta Stone of life? Is that what Jesus is, the Rosetta Stone of life? Well, what's the Rosetta Stone? Well, nowadays we know of Rosetta Stone as a software program that's used to learn another language. The original Rosetta Stone, however, was an actual stone. A stone discovered by a French officer in 1799 in Egypt in the town of Rosetta. Rosetta, Egypt, during Napoleon's military campaign there. What was so important about that stone, that Rosetta Stone as it came to be known, was that on the top was written a decree in Egyptian hieroglyphic script, a script that scholars had long tried to decipher but could not do. On the bottom of the stone was that same decree in ancient Greek, a well-known and understood language. Comparing the two decrees, then, gave scholars the key to understanding that ancient hieroglyphic script and thus all sorts of other writings of ancient Egypt. So the Rosetta Stone became the key to understanding so much. So our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he is the key to understanding life. Not only life in general, not only human history, but our own unique history, our own life. What we are, who we are, and how it is we are to look at the world. Hear the Apostle Paul again to the Philippians, as I have referenced a few times over these last number of months. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him. That's Christ, who strengthens me. Now that's a different perspective, a different view, a different understanding of life, isn't it? Doing all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, if we were given an app for our phone for Christmas, which we could use any time we were confused as to what we should think or do or say, we'd be thrilled, wouldn't we? Wait, let me look at my phone. Thrilled about such a gift. Well, that's the gift that we have received in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the gift of being able to do all things through Him, that is to live in this extremely complex and confusing world, still be content for being baptized into Christ, having come to faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ has been sent into our hearts to guide us into this way of peace. What a wonder that through the suffering and death of Christ, His resurrection and ascension, the forgiveness of sins, all of our sins, it's assured. That's why believing in Jesus, we're saved from sin and death and the devil, but there is more. And that is the life in Christ in the here and now. The life of the new man. The life that has been recreated, renewed, and regenerated. Paul would call it what? The mind of Christ. Remember he said that? I have the mind of Christ. It's a mind that would look at the daily matters of this world, our daily lives, and not judge by what our eyes see, and not decide by what our ears hear, but first and foremost, as our Savior Jesus Christ, live and delight in the fear of the Lord, and that is to see all things in the perspective of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No, by doing so, we're not checking out of life. By doing so, we're living a new life, our new life in Christ, the life that Christ brought to us as a gift on Christmas when, as the Son of God, He was born the Son of Man in a stable in Bethlehem. Our eyes and ears would say, just a baby. Our redeemed and renewed and regenerated hearts would say, a new way of Amen. Now, may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and the life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith.